Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using WebSphere MQ version 7 as GMS provider for WebSphere Application Server version 7. Today's presenter is Anghil Wifera. Anghil is a member of the Level 2 Technical Support Team for WebSphere MQ on Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the GMS aspect of WebSphere MQ. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Anghil.
Good morning, MQ fans. My name is Anghil Rivera, and I work for IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support for Unix and Windows in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina, USA. Welcome to this webcast entitled Using WebSphere MQ Version 7 as JMS Provider for WebSphere Application Server Version 7. Let's begin. Next page, please. Page 2, the agenda. I will begin by presenting the players of WAS and MQ, the MDB, the WAS listener port, the activation specification, the JMS administrative objects, the MQ JMS client, and the MQ queue manager. Then I will present some scenarios to show the sequence of events and how these players interact with each other. I will cover normal cases, and I will cover also a failure. A comparison will be done between the WAS and MQ version 6 and the new version 7 function, including changes in configuration. Finally, as an extra value added to this webcast, there are 4 tech docs, similar to a tech note, but longer, and these tech notes describe simple MDBs that are fully functional, very simple, that you can use to experiment with the topics addressed by this webcast. We were in page 2 now. Next page, please, will be page 3. The title is Purpose. The purpose of this webcast is to describe how WebSphere MQ version 7 is used as the Java messaging service, or JMS, provider for WebSphere Application Server 7. The new features from MQ version 7 are discussed. Multiplex connections, or conversation sharing. It allows for full duplex TCP/IP channels and to share several sessions into a single socket. Asynchronous consumers, or callback. The client does not need to do polling to see if a message has arrived. Instead, the client registers a callback with the queue manager, and the queue manager will notify the client when a message has arrived. Read-ahead messages, streaming. Under certain conditions, the MQ client can retrieve many messages at once from the queue manager and store them in a local temporary queue, providing messages at a faster rate to the application and avoiding a network round trip for each message. Selectors. The queue manager now understands message selectors and it can retrieve messages that satisfy a selection criteria. In MQ version 6, only the JMS client knew about message selectors, and all the messages in the queue were browsed by the client. Asynchronous put response, non-blocking producers. Under certain conditions, the application can put messages at a faster rate, and the MQ client and the MQ queue manager will skip the confirmation received that the message has arrived. For example, in MQ version 6, when an application puts 3 messages, the sequence will be send first message to the server replies that it received it. The client sends second message, the server replies that it got it. Client sends third message, server replies that it got it. In MQ version 7, when using this feature in the sequences, client sends first message to the server. Client sends second message to the server. Client sends third message to the server. Optionally, the MQ client can request the server for the status of the transmitted messages just in case there were any errors or warnings. Okay, let's talk about what is not covered in this presentation. The System Integration Bus, the SIB, nor the WebSphere MQ link. Also, I will not cover advanced topics such as security, channel exits, etc. Next page, please. This is page 4, titled Presenting the Players, Part 1. The approach that I wanted to take is to show simple examples of the sequence of events and the players for delivering a message in MQ version 6 with WAS 6. Again, this is MQ 6, WAS 6. The reason is to provide a baseline. I will guess that most of the people in this conference or who are interested in this topic, they have already WAS 6 and MQ 6, and they are interested in what is new in WAS 7 and version 7. Therefore, I'm starting with this baseline. I will highlight the differences with respect to MQ version 7 and WAS 7. In that way, we'll be providing a contrast between the two versions. It is assumed that all necessary components are installed and properly configured. That is, I will not talk about the installation process nor how to configure the JMS administrative objects. It is assumed that there is an unread message in the queue. I will not talk about how that message is placed in the queue. Okay, let's introduce the players. It is useful to have an analogy to make it a bit easier to understand and to relate to. All analogies have strong and weak points. Right now, let's concentrate on the strong points. The WAS server can be considered to be a building that provides services to business tenants. These are the enterprise Java beans or AGBs. It provides the utilities, security, management of resources, etc. The idea is for the EJBs to concentrate on their domain expertise and to delegate mundane tasks to the staff and resources from the building. The tenants, the EJBs, need to follow the standard described by the J2EE, the Java 2 Platform Enterprise Edition. In that way, the tenant can use the proper plugs provided by the office space in the building and in order to get the services. Now let's consider the next player. The MQ Queue Manager, it can be considered to be another building that provides messaging and packaging services to clients, including WAS servers. It provides assured delivery of messages and delivers a message only once, no duplicates. Let's do a quick review of an unpleasant scenario when MQ is not used. If you interact with an automated teller machine and you withdraw $10 and receive $10, you don't want to have your account reporting two withdrawals of $10 each for a total of $20, which could happen if messages were duplicated. For example, the ATM sent a message to the server about the $10 withdrawal, but then there was a network glitch and an intermediary software product sent the message again to ensure the arrival. But the first message was not really lost and it arrived to the server, and thus when the second server arrives, then you have a duplicate of the message. It's something that is avoided with MQ. Next page, please. Page 5, presenting the players, part 2. The enterprise Java bean, the EJB, occupies a floor in the WAS server building, and it is operational. The EJB has a specialized secretary that only receives and handles messages. That's it. That's the whole role. This secretary is called a message-driven bean, or MDB. The messages are received via the method in the MDB called onMessage. The MDB waits until it is contacted by the WAS listener port. Okay? Next page, please. Page 6, presenting the players, part 3. The WAS listener port, LP for short, which resides in the mailroom. It delivers the messages from the mailroom to the tenants. Okay? The LP interacts with the MQ representative to get the messages. A technical note, a WAS MDB listener is the component that uses a WAS listener port to listen for messages and actually delivers the message to the MDB. For simplicity's sake, he will use the term just LP. Note, the WAS listener port is not the same as the MQ listener. The MQ listener is a socket handler to allow MQ clients to communicate with MQ Queue Manager. Next page, please. Page 7, presenting the players, part 4. The MQ representative is the MQ JMS client, which also resides in the mailroom of the WAS server building. It contacts the MQ Queue Manager via server connection channel. Let's visualize the channel as a single pneumatic tube which sends a capsule, like the ones used in drive-through bank tellers or pharmacies. The MQ client puts requests into the capsule. The capsule is sent via the pneumatic pipe to the MQ queue manager. The queue manager opens the capsule and reads the request, then puts the reply or the message that was requested into the capsule and sends it back. In MQ version 6, the connection is half duplex, which means that two capsules cannot be sent in opposite directions simultaneously. This is like a road that has only one lane. Furthermore, there is only one capsule that can be used. Once the MQ client sends the capsule to the server, the client cannot send a second capsule to the server. The client has to wait for the capsule to be returned by the server. Next page, please. This is page 8, a scenario. OK delivery of one message, part 1. This is the basic scenario when a single message is successfully delivered from the MQ queue manager to the MDD. This scenario is the one used by WAS6 and MQ6. Again, the whole reason of discussing WAS6 and MQ6 is to provide you a baseline. The WAS listener port starts its shift by calling on the phone the MQJMS client to ask if there are messages in the specified queue. Good morning, MQJMS. This is WASLD. Do you have any messages from the QQ1? The reply could be, good morning to you, LT. This is MQJMS. Let me check. Please remain on the line. The LT remains on the line waiting to hear from the MQJMS client. Right now, this listener port cannot process another message from another queue. The MQJMS client writes a request into the node, puts the node into the capsule, and sends it to the MQQ manager, the MQ server, via the pipe. The MQJMS client waits for the return of the capsule from the MQ server. Because the line is half duplex, the MQJMS client cannot send another capsule. In turn, the MQ server receives the capsule and reads the request. The MQ server checks if there is a message in the queue and says, yes, there is one. The server makes a copy of the message. It does not delete the message yet. The interaction between WAS and MQ requires confirmation that the message has reached the destination successfully. That is, the MDD needs to confirm that it got the message. Next page, please. Page 9. The scenario, OK delivery of one message, part 2. The MQ server puts the copy of the message in the capsule and sends the capsule back to the MQJMS client. The MQJMS client receives the capsule, gets the message out, and tells the listener port that there is a message. The listener port goes to the mail room and gets the message. Then it goes to where the MDB resides and gives the message to the MDB. The listener port doesn't just leave. It stays there waiting for the confirmation from the MDB to confirm if the delivery is successful. Next page, please. Page 10. The scenario, OK delivery of one message, part 3. The MDB opens the message and reads its contents. If everything is fine with the message, then it handles the message. It does whatever it needs to do, put something into the database, give it to another application, whatever. And then the MDB tells the listener port that everything is okay. The listener port returns to the mailroom and tells the MQJMS client that the delivery was okay. In turn, the MQJMS client tells the MQ server that the delivery was okay. The MQ server proceeds to destroy the message from the queue. Once the successful delivery has been confirmed, the message is destroyed from the queue. This is the end of the scenario. Next page, please. Page 11. Page 11, a scenario, failed message delivery, part 1. We could proceed to talk about the new features added in version 7, but let's take a small detour to explain what happens if the MDB rejects the message. For example, it is expecting a message with type text, but it receives one with type MAC. This failure scenario is known as delivering a poison message. Only an overview is provided here. Let's assume that the listener port gives the message to the MDB, and the MDB opens the message and realizes that it does not like it. Hey, the MDB rejects the delivery, and it does not handle the message. This message is considered from now on to be a poison message. The listener port acknowledges the rejection of the delivery of the message and tells it to the MQJMS client. Next page, please. Page 12. A scenario, failed message delivery, part 2. The MQJMS client sends a note to the MQ server to indicate the rejection. The MQ server does not destroy the message from the queue. Instead, it increases the counter back out count of the message to indicate that an attempt was made to deliver it, but it was failed. Now, originally the backup count was zero. Now the backup count is one. By default, if a message fails to be delivered, the listener port stops and does not handle messages anymore. Why? This avoids a possible infinite loop. Otherwise, the listener port will ask the MQ client for a message. The MQ server will return the same message that was rejected. The LP will try to give it again to the MDB. The MDB will reject it. The MQ server will not delete the message, will increase the backup count, and start the cycle over again in an infinite loop. For more details, see this IBM Developer Works article, How WebSphere Application Server Version 6 Handles Poison Messages. This article explains what are the configuration changes to be done at the MQ queue in order to provide a backout queue, such as the system dead letter queue, and a backout threshold upon which the message will be removed from the original queue and placed into the backout queue. The queue manager does not move the messages. Okay? Instead, the MQ JMS client checks the backout counter on the message. If it has reached the backout threshold defined by the queue, then the MQ JMS client will move the message to the backout queue. Also, this article explains the changes to the WASP listener port in order to not stop when a poison message is encountered. Next page, please. Page 13. MQ version 6 half duplex. In MQ version 6, the pneumatic pipe illustrated in the previous slides is actually called a client-server connection channel. The client end of the channel is called client connection channel. And you can easily guess that the server end of the channel is called the server connection channel. In MQ version 6, this channel between the MQ JMS client and the MQ server is half duplex, and there is only one capsule. That is, when the capsule is sent from the MQ client to the server, the client cannot send another message. There is no other capsule. The MQ client waits for a reply from the server. In reality, the TCP/IP channels are full duplex, but in MQ version 6, they are used only as half duplex. Imagine that you have a road with two lanes. In version 6, only one lane is used and the other is permanently closed. Only one car can travel on the road. It is not possible for two cars to cross the road in opposite directions at the same time. Next page, please. This is page 14. TCPI full duplex versus half duplex. This slide illustrates that in MQ version 6, the flow of exchanges between the client and the server needs to follow a very strict pattern due to the limitations imposed by using half duplex. For example, we have number one goes to, from the client to the server, number two, server to client, number three, client to server, etc. In contrast, in MQ version 7, we can use a full duplex protocol when the transport type is specified on the TCP/IP and the conversation sharing parameter is a new parameter called shared CNZ is greater than zero on both channels. This is a new attribute. Full duplex means that information can be sent from either end of the session at any time. It can send and receive simultaneously. Also, multiple capsules can be used. In a sense, we have now the two lanes in the road are open and two cars can cross that road at the same time. In addition, heartbeats can now be performed from both the client end and the queue manager end at independent rates. This leads to early detection of communications network failures and other channel problems. The client program and the queue manager can now carry out recovery and reconnecting functions in a more timely manner. Next page, please. Page 15. TCP full duplex versus half duplex nodes. This page contains additional notes on this topic. I will not cover all the details, and you are welcome to review them from the copy of this presentation. Next page, please. Page 16, conversation sharing, multiplexing, part 1. In MQ version 6, if a client process establishes multiple connections to the same queue manager, it uses different sockets for each connection. The queue manager uses a separate thread for each connection. Each conversation uses half duplex, sending or receiving, but not both at the same time. In this diagram in the slide shows four threads using four connections. The local queue manager is using four sockets for those connections. Next page, please. Page 17, conversation sharing, multiplexing, part number 2. in MQ version 7, multiple conversations can flow down the same TCP IP socket. They are serialized, and the channel is using full duplex mode. Only one queue manager thread will be used for the socket. Thus, some advantages are reduced number of sockets required, reduced server threads and resources and resource usage on the queue manager. In this particular diagram, we have, on the left side, we have four processes. The client code says, hey, I can talk to the server using shared conversations. Then I'm going to give chunks from the thread one, send it through the pipe, and then we'll say chunks from the conversation with thread two on the same pipe, and three and four. Then they are serialized. The local queue manager is using only one socket, and he's just receiving the information, and he's receiving, oh, this chunk is from thread one, I have to do this, and so on. Then the communications is through only one link. Next page, please. Page 18, shared conversations. In MQ version 7, a new parameter has been added to the server connection channel. It's also ServerCon. The parameter is share CNV for shared conversations. Is the maximum level of conversation sharing allowed? When the value is zero, means run at the version 6, house duplex, disabling any of the new features in MQ version 7. When the value is 1, only one conversation is allowed on the socket, but it supports the version 7 features because it's full duplex. The default is shared conversation 10. And two things. When upgrading to MQ version 7, the server connection channels will have the new default shared conversation 10. Now, this parameter does not limit the number of connections. For example, if the value is 10, but there are 11 conversations, then two sockets are used. One socket will carry 10 conversations, and one socket will carry one conversation. Next page, please. Page 19, shared conversation notes. I'm skipping it. Next page, please. Page 20, a scenario, no messages. Polling. Let's explore a variation in the basic successful scenario using WAT6 and MQ version 6. There are no messages in the queue. What happened? Well, the idea is to discuss the periodic polling done by the listener port from WAT. The listener port takes a rest and waits a few minutes. Oh, I delivered successfully a message. Okay, now I take a break. Okay, now break is done, and then I call again the MQ client and ask for a message. The MQ client contacts the MQ server checks the queue, and there is no message, and it tells the MQ client. The MQ client passes the news to the listener port. The LP takes a rest and waits a few minutes, and it restarts the polling scenario again. Notice all the efforts done by all the players just to receive the news that there were no messages. This polling loop is repeated countless of times. Next page, please. Page 21, asynchronous consumers callback. In MQ version 7, a JMS consumer can either make synchronous receive calls to get messages, that is, the JMS consumer waits for the message to arrive, it doesn't do anything else, or can register a callback to be called asynchronously when a message arrives. Then the JMS consumer can do something else and is going to be told, hey, a message has arrived. Prior to MQ version 7, the server only natively supported the synchronous mode of operation. The server could not tell the client that a message has arrived. The JMS client had to poll for messages. An analogy could be useful to understand the problem. There is a house without a buzzer or bell. The occupant needs to open the door to see if there is a message at the door. The occupant goes every 5 minutes to the door and checks for a message. A message could arrive to the door 1 second after the door was closed. Well, the message cannot... tell the occupant, hey, I'm here. He has to wait at the door for almost 5 minutes, in this example, until the occupant does the calling again. By adding asynchronous consumer support into the MQ interface, the JMS client can be hugely simplified and optimized. Returning to this analogy, MQ version 7 adds a buzzer to the door, and thus the occupant does not need to do polling every 5 minutes when to see if a message arrives. Instead, when the message arrives, it rings the buzzer, and the occupant only checks the door when the buzzer rings. Next page, please. Page 22. Asynchronous consumers callback notes. Will you skip it? Next page, please. Page 23. a scenario version, it's page 23, scenario version 7, callback. It will be nice for the listener board and the MQJMS client to only be active when there is a message in the queue. The MQJMS client version 7 has a new beeper or pager. The MQ version 7 client requests to the MQ server version 7 to call back when the message arrives to the queue. The MQ server is now doing the monitoring on the queue. The MQJMS client does not have to call. When the MQ server detects a new message in the queue, then it notifies the MQ client. The MQ client gets the message and notifies the listener port. The listener port in WAS 7 knows about this new feature and does not call the MQ client. Next page, please. Page 24. Scenario. Version 6, delivering 1,000 messages that are very similar. Let's return to WAS 6 and MQ version 6. Now that we know the complete sequence of for handling a single message, let's explore what happens when there are 1,000 messages or 1,000,000 messages to be delivered and which are very similar. In case that the channel is slow, then the network response is not too good, you can imagine that the accumulated time can be substantial for all the acknowledgments from the MQ client to the MQ server to say, I receive okay the message number 2, send me the next one. The other message is sent. Okay. I receive find the message number 3, send me the next one. I receive find the message number 999, send me the message, etc. You can see that all that reply back and forth, even though it's a short reply, in this slow network, it will consume a lot of resources eventually. 1 billion here, 1 billion there, suddenly we are talking about real money. Okay, page 25. A scenario, read ahead. Let's see how version 7 can help expedite the delivery of a large number of similar messages. The top portion shows the behavior from MQ version 6. The MQ client puts a message and waits for the reply from the server. If 1,000 messages are sent, then the server sends 1,000 replies. Okay. The bottom portion shows the read ahead feature from MQ version 7. When using read ahead, the MQ client code makes a request for more than one message from the server. The psychic server determines which messages to send ahead, basically on the usage of the MQ get. The server will send as many non-persistent messages matching the criteria, such as next message, as it can, up to the limit set by the client. The MQ client will keep these messages in a local temporary queue, which is purely in memory. If the application ends or the machine crashes, these messages in the local queue will be lost. By the way, when the queue manager gets the messages from the original queue, okay, they are read destructively. They are gone from the original queue. Once they are placed in the temporary queue in the MQ client side, those messages, if they are lost, they are lost. Next page, please. Page 26. Read ahead of messages, notes. Next page, please. Page 27. A scenario, version 7 delivering 1,000 messages that are very similar. MQ version 7 introduced the feature of read ahead, in which the MQ server gathers many messages from the queue, destructively reads them, and sends them in volume to the MQJMS client. These messages need to fit a pattern, such as get next one or get next one with correlation ID X, etc. In turn, the MQJMS client keeps all these messages into a small local queue, and when the listener port asks for a message, the client checks its local queue and gets the message right away to the listener port. This avoids the transit time of the MQJMS client acknowledging the receipt of the previous message and requesting the new one. Next page, please. Page 28. WAS version 7 administration console read ahead. The read-ahead feature is disabled by default in both MQ and WAS. You need to configure the MQ queue to enable it to do read-ahead. The attribute is called defReadA equals yes. It's not shown in this slide, sorry. But in addition, you need to use the WAS version 7 administrative console to enable read-ahead in the JMS administration object for the queue or the topic. Then you have to do resources, JMS, queues, and the name of the queue, the topic name, advanced properties, and the section optimization, which is at the bottom. And there are two things, read ahead and cache non-persistent messages from consumers. As per Q definition, it means A, check the NQQ, or that's the default, or do say yes or no. The same thing for read ahead consumers close method is wait for all cache messages to be delivered, or just wait for the current message to be delivered. The second option is wait for the current message to be delivered. If there are 10 messages left in that local queue in the cache, they will be gone if it is closed. Okay, page 29, what are JMS message selectors? The JMS message selectors can be used to determine which messages the MDB receives. For example, JMS type equals car and color equals blue and weight greater than 2,500. That's an example. The selector string can refer to fields in the JMS message header and fields in the message properties. Message selectors cannot reference values in the message body. Next page, please. Page 30, a scenario. Version 6, JMS selectors, all messages are sent from server, part 1. Let's imagine now that the MDB has in its deployment descriptor a property value pair in the message selectors called an MQ version 6. The queue manager does not know about message properties. Okay, let's suppose that is color equals blue. The filtering of messages is not done by the MQ server. This is done by the MQ JMS client. This means that every single message from the queue is copied and transferred to the client. The client browses at this message for the matching selectors. If a message does not satisfy the selection criteria, then the local copy from the client is discarded. The original message is in the queue is still intact. Next page, please. Page 31. Scenario, version 6, JMS selectors, all messages are sent from the server, part 2. If a message satisfies the criteria, then the MQ JMS client officially requests the server for this particular message. Then it gives the message to the listener port. The MQ JMS client tells the MQ server to delete the message from the queue. Notice that if there are 1,000 messages in the queue, but only one message satisfies the criteria, then all 1,000 messages are sent as read-only to the client. In this example, the client will discard 999 of them. The client, but the server still has them, okay? Next page, please. Page 32. A scenario, version 7, message selectors. In NQ version 7, the server knows about message properties. Thus, the server does the actual filtering for the selection criteria. Once a message that has been identified as satisfying the selection criteria, then it is sent to the client. If a message does not comply with the filter, it is not sent. Then, in the case of this scenario, in which we have 1,000 messages in the queue and only one satisfies the criteria, then only that message is sent to the client. Big save. Page, next page, page 33, message selectors, part 2. The top portion shows the behavior of MQ version 6. Each message is sent from the server to the queue MQ JMS client who will browse the message selector. The bottom portion shows the new behavior of MQ version 7. The server will do the message selection and will send only those messages that satisfy the selection criteria. Next page, page 34, version 6, orphan channels, part 1. An orphan channel refers to the situation where the MQ agent in the MQ queue manager was receiving information from the MQ client, but after a while, he has not received any further data from the client. The MQ agent assumes that the MQ client is still connected, but it is busy. But most likely, the MQ client is no longer there. Maybe a network glitch caused the breakage in the connection. But due to the nature of the house duplex channel, the MQ server cannot send a heartbeat to the client to ask if the client is still active. Say, hey, I have not heard from you for 3 hours. Are you still there? It cannot ask that question to the client. That's a big problem. Now, in version 6, the keep alive features of the queue manager and of the TCP/IP stack of the operating system, both of them, are used to determine those idle connections. Usually, the default is 2 hours. But this is not enabled by default. You have to enable. Next page, please. Page 35. Version 6, Orphan Channels, Part 2. Firewalls, network glitches, and not well-behaved applications are typical causes for abnormally terminating a connection and generating orphan channels. The MQ server has a default of a maximum channels of 300. these orphan channels are counted towards the maximum, and they could lead to the following MQ error, MQ9513, maximum number of channels reached. It means that no further connections can be established. Well, for more details, see the tech note, MQ manager stops responding to JMS requests for some additional explanations and hints of how to overcome it. Next page, please. Page 36, version 7, heartbeats. By using full duplex channels in MQ version 7, heartbeats can be used to minimize the impact of orphan channels. Heartbeats are short flows of information that are sent at regular intervals. Their only purpose is to confirm that the session is still active. Heartbeats can now be performed from both the client end and the queue manager end at a negotiated rate. This leads to early detection of communication network failures and other channel problems. Recovery and reconnecting functions can be done in a more timely manner. Next page, please. Page 37, version 7, asynchronous put or fire and forget. Asynchronous put is not related to MDBs, but it can be exploited by JMS applications running inside WAS to send messages. The top portion serves as synchronous. The MQ client waits for a response from the MQ server for each message. Okay, I'm sending you a message. Now I'm waiting for you to tell me that you receive it. Then he waits, and the queue manager sends the message, yes, I receive it, send me the next one. Asynchronous means the MQ client does not have to spend time waiting for a reply because in this mode, the MQ server will not send a reply. Next page, please. Asynchronous put notes. Let's skip it. Page. Next page will be 39. WAS version 7 admin console for asynchronous put. Similarly with the read ahead, the MQ queue needs to be changed to allow for to perform asynchronous puts. The attribute is DESP, and the value async. Sorry, I didn't include it in this slide. In the WAS admin console, you need to change the corresponding JMS definition, and it's shown as mentioned here. And yes, that's it. Next page, please. Page 40. MQ version 7 pops up at message properties. JMS messages have a more complex structure than simple MQ messages, using message headers to store JMS header and property information. Prior to MQ version 7, performing publish-subscribe messaging over MQ without using JMS was difficult. With applications forced to manage the broker control, subscription messages, and RFH parsing, which JMS does for them. By adding native message property support into MQ version 7, it is much easier for MQ-based applications, such as the ones written in C, to access the JMS header fields and properties without using the JMS API. And these applications can more easily participate in the same public subscribe networks as JMS applications. Next page, please. Page 41, MQ version 7, JMS access to the MQ header, part 1. Previously, the JMS application could not access the message properties in the MQ message descriptor, MQMD. In MQ version 7, you can read and write the message descriptor from the JMS application. You must set the destination object for property, shown in the slide, to true. Then you can use the property setting methods of the message, for example, set the string property, to assign values to the MQMD fields. Next page, please. Page 42. MQ version 7, JMS access to MQ header part 2. Similarly, you can extract the contents of the MQMD fields by setting the variable shown in this tree, and before receiving a message, and then using the get methods of the message, such as get string property. Any of these properties are read-only. Also, you can access the complete MQ message data, including the MQ headers, if present, and any other headers, as the body of as JMS byte message by using WMQ message body property of a destination object. Next page, please. Page 43. Now, MQ version 6, jar files using WAS version 7. Okay, in the next few slides, we'll talk more about some of the changes in the configuration and installation of WAS. The MQ JMS classes client in WAS version 6 is supplied by means of the following jar files. They are shown in the screen. There are three. These jar files are located in the NQJMS libroot, which is defined as nq underscore install underscore root slash java slash lib. And this slide provides the full path for AIX, Unix, and Windows. The latest versions of these MQ version 6 file, jar files is the following. For WASP 6.10 6-pack 19 and later, the version is MQ version 6 6-pack 2.4. Did the tech note which version of MQ is shipped with the WebSphere application server? In that way, you will see, oh, if I have a WASP 6.0.2, what is the version of MQ provided? That tech note shows it. If you wanted to avoid using these jar files, and instead you wanted to use the jar files provided from the MQ server or client, which is installed in the same machine, such as, for example, if you want to use MQ 6.0.7, which is the latest fix pack, well, you cannot use the jar files. We don't recommend just to change the jar files provided by WASP. We like for them to be intact. However, you can install the MQ client, and then you can go to the WASP admin console and change the environment variable called nq install root and change it to slash opt slash nqn in Linux, for example, or slash usr slash nqn, such as in AIX. In that, and you have to restart the WASP server. And in that way, the WASP server will use the nqjms jar files provided with nq client and could be the latest version. Next page, please. Page 44, MQ resource adapter not supported in WASP version 6, okay? That title says it all. It is not supported in version 6. It is supported in the common edition, but that's not a topic here. Basically, MQ resource adapter, either version 6 or version 7, is not supported in WASP version 6. You have to use the jar file. And by the way, the NQ version 7 resource adapter is used with WASP 7. That's a big change and will be discussed later in slide 47. Next page, please. Page 45, NQ version 7 Java JMS considerations. The WebSphere NQ classes for Java and NQ classes for Java message services have two modes of operation in version 7. The normal mode is optimized to use the new features of version 7. And the other is a migration mode, which is based on MQ version 6 function and has only those features which were available at version 6. And this is called MQ version 6 leg. This is the case when using WASP version 7. It talks to a queue manager at version 6. Then the WASP version 7 is using the version 7 MQ client, but the MQ version 6 queue manager doesn't know about these new features, therefore, the client knows that it cannot talk about the new features with the old queue manager, and it talks back in the level that the old queue manager can understand. Next page, please. Page 46. This is Keep It. Page 47. NQ version 7, resource adapter used in WASP version 7. In WASP version 7, there are no MQ jar files provided under the location used in WASP version 6, which is shown in the slide. Instead, the jar files are included inside another file called NQ resource adapter for JCA, and it shows the location and the name of that resource adapter file. There is no need to use NQ install root. In case that you want to use the NQ resource adapter provided with NQ installing the machine, that is, if you don't want to use the adapter provided with WASP, then you will need to modify the properties of the adapter via the WASP admin console, but this is a topic beyond this presentation. The versions of the NQ resource adapter provided with WASP 7 is shown in this slide. The latest one is WASP 7.0.0.5. Ships with NQ 7.0.1.0. Notice the difference. The reason that I mentioned this is if you are doing tracing and from WASP, you may see that it says resource adapter for NQ 7.0.1.0 and you say, wow, but that's not the version that I have in WASP. I want to just explain that situation. Next page, please, page 48. WASP version 7 can use also activation specs, what is called activation specifications. In version 6, there are activation specifications in WASP 6, but they are only used with the system integration bus. They cannot be used with MQ. In WASP version 6, you can only use listener ports. In WASP version 7, you can use either listener ports or activation specifications. The activation specifications, they are a construct from the JCA 1.5 specification. And it is now the preferred mechanism for delivering messages from an MQ destination to an MDB running inside WASP version 7. The activation specification supersede the use of the existing WASP message listener port, which is deprecated in version 7 of WASP, but is still available. And for more information, see the article mentioned at the bottom of this page. Next page, please. Page 49, activation specification notes. The main advantages of activation specs over listener ports are specification defined. The activation specs are part of the standards, okay? And they can be configured under resources, JMS, under the admin console. The listener ports are not part of this standard. They are just a construct underneath the server itself. Then you have to go to the server and then modify advanced properties and then messaging and listener ports. It takes several steps in order to reach the listener ports. Over here, instead of the activation specs, they are under the JMS resources. The active specs are simple to configure. And listener port needs three configuration objects, a connection factory, a destination, and the message listening port itself. The activation spec requires only two objects, the activation spec itself and a destination. In a sense, it has the information of a connection factor, part of the information of the connection factory. The other advantage shown here is not limited to server scope. The listener port can be only defined at the server scope, the lowest level. This means that if you have a node made of three servers, you must configure three separate message listener ports as opposed to only one activation specification if you have defined it at the node level. Okay. And there is another advantage which is not shown in this slide, and I'm sorry for that, and is the following. The activation configuration can be configured to handle message selectors, and these message selectors can be used with any MDB. In contrast, in version 6, the message selector was not part of the listener port, and the only way to specify a message selector is by modifying the MDB, what is called the deployment descriptor. Then you couldn't use WASP to add a message selector in version 6 to an MDB. What you need to do is go to RAD, the Russian Application Developer, take that MDB, modify the deployment descriptor, change it to add the message selector, then export back the MDB, reinstall it in WASP, and so on. With activation specification, you can do that right there using the admin console. You don't have to use RAD in order to add message selectors. Okay, next page, please, page 50. And for more details on MQ as a JMS provider, please consult these two tech notes. Contain a lot of information about, well, if I have MQ WASP 6.1.0, for example, and I want to use MQ 6 and MQ 7, what are things that I need to know, etc. These tech notes provide a very good summary. Next page, please. Sample MDB that you can experiment with, page 51. This slide and the next two describe sample MDBs that you can use to experiment with the topics addressed by this webcast. In order to provide you with really useful information, I wanted to experiment with WASP and MQ and so on, and the samples that I found before, they were not to my specifications. Then I decided to create these simple but fully functional MDBs. There is no other logic behind. There is no further processing. There are no servlets, and et cetera. These are just very simple MDBs. They do the job. They are fully functional. And then the whole reason is I wanted to describe to you First, what are the configurations that you need to do in MQ and WAS in order to define all the objects for these MDBs? And I created a tech doc, which is called Using WebSphere MQ Version 7 as JMS Provider for WebSphere Application Server Version 7. And it has four chapters. The first two are just the configuration, and in one page, it tells you exactly what you need to do if you're an advanced user. And if you're a beginner user, the rest of the chapter includes step-by-step, screenshot after screenshot, and any warnings when necessary in order to accomplish the task. Chapter 3 has the details on how you can deploy that MDB and how you can do the testing. And one of the testing, the MDB itself, it has a, the onMessage method. It will tell you if this message is text or bytes or map or object. And also, it will display something that is going to be logged in the systemout.log from WAS that has an eye catcher of ++, sample MDB, text message, and then the contents if it's a test message. In that way, you can do a simple testing using just monitoring the systemout.log. This tech doc contains the document with all these chapters. It contains the source code for the onMessage, and it contains also the actual MDB that you can install. Actually, you can install it also in version 6 of WAS. And next page, please. This is page 52. And the development instructions for this sample MDB are describing this technique. It's developing and testing an MDB using RAS 7.5 as WAS version 7 and MQ version 7 as JMS provider. It has two chapters. This one is how to develop the MDB. Again, it has a screenshot by screenshot, exactly what you need to do. And chapter 2 is how you can test inside RAD the MDB using WAS 7. Then you have to specify, oh, I'm going to use for testing this server. It has to be in the same machine, but you can do the specification. Now, originally, I had created a mega document that had six chapters, but I was convinced to split it in two, that if you want to do those two chapters, those two tech docs combined as a single one, this is the suggested sequence. And again, this tech doc contains the MDB and the source code that you can use. The next one, next page is page 53. There are other two sample MDBs that you can experiment with. One is using an MDB that always rolls back a message to test the handling of poison messages. This MDB can be used to better understand the handling of messages, and it always does a rollback. In that way, you can test the behavior, and it tells you in one chapter what you can do to modify the listener port or the application activation specification, and the queue in the queue manager, what are the things that you need to modify in order to handle poison messages. One suggestion is if you are having problems with poison messages in your system, maybe you want to install this MDB just for testing purposes and making sure that your queue is properly configured and listener ports and all that stuff. In that way, you don't have to mess up with additional business logic, and you can just see exactly what happens. And the last tech doc is the following, and it's called Using an MDB with JMS Message Selectors with NQ7 and WAS7. And this MDB is designed really for WAS6 because it is, in its deployment descriptor, has the specification of a JMS Message Selector, which is color equals blue. This means that this MDB will only receive messages that comply with that selector. This tech doc explains how to use an activation specification to the message selection. And as an added bonus for that tech doc, a sample Java program is provided which allows you to create a message with or without a property name color. And you can say Java, the name of the sample, nothing, then no property. Java, the name of the sample, red, means color red. And the MDB should not get these two messages because one, it doesn't have a color, and the other, it has a color red, but we are looking for color blue. Then when you specify Java, the name of the sample, and blue, then, only then, you should be able to see in the system.log that the MDB received that message. Okay. Page 54 is references. These references provide a handy place for all the information centers, the tech dogs and red books and so on. Let's go to page number 55, additional articles that are interesting in this topic. Next page, 56, more interesting articles. And page 57, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And finally, the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. At this time, I would like to pass control of this webcast back to the moderator. Thanks.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. If we move on to slide number 58, I would like to invite you all to join the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange program on Facebook. WebSphere Support Technical Exchange on Facebook provides you with the ability to keep yourself updated on future and upcoming webcast sessions. It also provides you with an interactive platform to suggest topics for future webcasts. Become a fan of the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange program on Facebook by simply clicking on the link on the presentation slide or simply by searching for WebSphere Support Technical Exchange on Facebook. At this point in time, Tim, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from George Klarman.
This is George.
Hello.
Is there a time where you wouldn't want to use the shared conversation feature for the client?
Hello. And the question is, if there are situations in which we want to disable the shared conversations, yes, there could be some situations. Let me just tell you about the serialization and multiplexing through the shared conversations has a little bit of performance degradation. There are some cases in which the performance is really good, much better than version 6, but in other situations, the performance is not that good. Therefore, if you suspect that the slow performance that you are seeing is regarding to the new short future, that's one of the situations in which we recommend to change the value of the shared conversations to zero. In that way, you disable the functions in version 7, and you are using just half duplex. However, before going to the number 0, instead of 10, maybe you can try just with the number 1, and that way you are avoiding the serialization through the same socket and just having one conversation per line. And hopefully the performance will be better than conversations you both stand. It's not in all the cases. It is just in some cases. And if you want to find out more details, you're welcome to look at performance support packs on FQ version 7. There are more details in which when the performance is affected by this parameter.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is Adish Bartha. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Adish here. I have a question on using MQ as JMS provider on the WebSphere application server. The MQ is not installed on the application server. It's on the remote machine. So what is the best approach to use the connection between MQ and WebSphere application server?
Okay. You will need to specify at the time of the connection factory or the activation specification that you want to use the client mode.
Yeah.
Okay. Then by using the client mode, you use what's called bindings mode only if you want to use when MQ is installed in the same machine. The bindings mode have the advantage that really is using inter-process communications and is not using any network functions, the bindings mode. But when you have the MQ queue manager not located in the same machine, when it's remote, you cannot have inter-process communications through memory, then you must use the network connection, and that's when you have to specify client.
Okay. There's something called MQ Link which comes with WebSphere application server. Is it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the MQ WebSphere Link, the WebSphere MQ Link, it is really used by the system integration bus, the SIB. Then your primary messaging conduit or transport in between WAS servers will be the system integration bus. And it has a gateway in order to talk to MQ queue managers, and that's the feature, the MQ link. If you are not using the system integration bus, you are not there is no need to use the MQ link.
Okay. So what's the better approach, the client version or the SIB would be the better approach to use?
It depends on what you want to do. The system integration bus is only applicable if you have, if you want to communicate between WAS application servers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't use MQ. It uses internal message engines and so on.
Okay.
Now, if you have legacy products that are legacy applications that use MQ, mm-hmm. and they are in the mainframe or some other platforms, then you can use directly the MQ jar files and so on, or the resource adapter, to talk with the MQ queue manager, bypassing mm-hmm. the system integration bus.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have also both. You can have the system integration bus, and you can use MDBs that talk directly to MQ, and that will be fine. But the system integration bus will not be able to talk to MQ. The only way will be through a gateway called the WebSphere MQ link.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chuck Chang, you may ask your question.
Hey, I have a question about MDB. My developer told me that, my developer do a database call on the onMessage method within MDB, and he claims that it requires global transaction to be enabled. I know it's kind of not totally relevant to this presentation, but do you know, is that necessary or not?
Well, yes, and let me explain you why. When the listener port or the activation spec is going to deliver a message to the MDB normally, I mean, just without databases and so on, it uses a small unit of work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it opens the unit of work, it tries to deliver the message to the MDB, and it waits for the MDB to say successfully, I receive it. And once the message is fully received by the MDB and the MDB agrees, then the listener port commits the transaction, okay, which tells eventually the MQ server that it's okay to delete the message from that queue.
Okay.
In case the MDB fails or rejects the message, then the listener port rolls back the transaction, okay, and then that rollback of the transaction tells the MQ server, hey, do not delete the message. Increase the backup counter by one and keep the message over there. Okay. Now, in case that the MDB has to have a line called set rollback only.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one that triggers the rollback, triggers the rejection of the message. And by the way, one of the tech docs contains exactly the instructions on what you can do and what is the behavior that is expected. But in the case of the MDB, let's suppose that the MDB does a transaction with the database, and then it does a cell rollback. Well, the transaction with the database, it is part of a global unit of work, then it could back out in case there is a rollback. But if it's not part of a global unit of work, the MDB, by doing the rejection of the message, the database could still go ahead and commit and do anything that it wants to do.
So you recommend that we declare a global transaction context within the on-method call, so in case the message back out, then we got to back out transaction in the database.
That's correct.
Next, we have Dave Sines.
Yes, my question is about compatibility.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the MQ version 7 JMS client is compatible with earlier versions of MQ server, of course, minus the new functionality.
Yes.
Okay.
You can use the MQ version 7 queue manager with older versions of the clients, then there is a parameter in the exchange of information that indicate which versions they are each other. In that way, when the NQ manager says version 7, oh, I'm talking to a version 6 queue manager, client, I know what are the new functions, and therefore I'm not going to offer them to the version 6 queue client. Okay?
Okay. And
then,
vice versa.
If we have a version 7 client that is talking to a version 6 queue manager, the version 7 client is smart to say, well, I'm talking to an older queue manager. I cannot ask for read-ahead or a synchronous put or things like that. Therefore, I'm not even asking. Then
right.
The NQ version 6 queue manager thinks that he's talking to really a version 6 queue manager client.
Okay, I gotcha. Very good. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have no other questions in queue.
Thank you, Tim. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.